8 kicks off tonight. Welcome back, everybody. This is For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com. My name is Adam. It is Thursday, October the 24th, 2024. It's a great time for sports. Basketball kicked off. Football halfway through the season. Great time to be a sports fan. Great time to sign up at FTNFantasy.com as well. We have a ton of football content as we have had all season long. Season long, DFS, Dynasty, betting, tools, articles, rankings, cheat sheets, projections, data. We're going to have a lot of that same amazing content for basketball season. I'm so excited about a lot of the stuff that we have going on behind the scenes for this NBA season. So sign up at FTNFantasy.com today. Also, with football season, so many games, no buys this week, so a ton of opportunity to try to win these Circa Survivor and Circa Millions contests over at CircaSports.com. Or obviously, if you are in Vegas, check out Circa Live for your chance to play some of these contests. Circa Survivor and Circa Millions. Once again, appreciate Circa supporting the show, supporting the podcast. Check it out, CircaSports.com. We got to get right to it, though. Again, first week and a little bit without buys. The injuries aren't slowing down at all. So there's a lot to get to here on this week 8 slate. And let's get right to it, starting off with the Thursday night football game between the Vikings and Rams. Some moving parts here. Cooper Kupp will return. He's practicing in full for the Rams, so he should be good to go. For the Rams, Puka Nacua maybe can play. He's listed as questionable. Probably seems like he's at least one more week away, so I would anticipate him probably missing one more game. And then Jordan Whittington ruled out. He's been dealing with, I believe, a shoulder issue, so that'll keep him out for the Rams. So they're a pretty easy team, right? I mean, you're obviously starting Kupp, who only played the one full game all the way back in week one, but 21 targets, 43% target share. In his last fully healthy season, so when he's played majority of the games, 41.3% target share against the blitz, which is notable against Minnesota because they lead the NFL with a 42.5% blitz rate. So, yeah, you're starting Cooper Kupp. We've also seen wide receivers, especially wide receivers that play both inside and outside, really produce against the Vikings. Amon-Ra last week, 8 for 112 and a touchdown. Garrett Wilson over in London, 13 for 101 and a touchdown. Jaden Reed, 7 for 139 and a touchdown. So, yeah, start Cooper Kupp, obviously. He's practicing in full, so I expect him to be full go. Outside of that, for the receivers, it would be Tutu Atwell. He's been running as the clear wide receiver, pretty much the wide receiver one for this team over the past couple weeks. He's been getting a lot of those touches and snaps and pre-snap motion. Obviously, though, his ceiling and floor aren't as high with the return of Cooper Kupp. And then you're starting Kyren Williams, obviously, who just keeps scoring touchdowns. He scored two more last week. It looked like there could have been a potential post-buy rookie bump for Blake Corum. There was, I think, a report after the first drive of that was Kyren's going to get two series and Blake's going to get one and it'll go so on and so forth. And then it kind of happened. Blake Corum did get the third drive, I believe, but Kyren still outsnapped him 49-6. Tied for the most goal line carries in the NFL with 11 despite already having his bye week. His 45.9% touch share leads the NFL, and he's second among running backs in touches per game with 21.7, and his 72.5% snap share leads all running backs. So, yeah, he just, nobody outside of maybe Derrick Henry is as much of a lock to score a touchdown right now than Kyren Williams. It's been insane. For the Vikings, TJ Hockenson, it seems like they want to see him get a full week of practices in before having him come back. He's still been limited. He is questionable. I expect him to miss one more week and then make his debut next week. And then Aaron Jones looked like he might miss some time with a hip/hamstring issue that he suffered in London, but he played last week and was not limited, played 72% of snaps, had 17 of the 18 running back touches. He's been great. He's been getting a lot of work, and this is a good matchup. Rams allow the sixth highest success rate against the run at 46%. 21.5% avoided tackle rate is the sixth worst in the NFL, and just 13.5% of the runs against the Rams have been stuffed at or behind the line of scrimmage. That's the worst rate in the NFL. Obviously, we're starting Justin Jefferson. And I really like Jordan Addison in this game, especially if Hockenson's not quite back, not quite ready to be back. Addison against a Rams defense that gives up a lot of production on deep passes, vertical routes, go routes. They're also allowing the fifth most receiving yards per game to opposing wide receiver twos at 60.9 per game. Philadelphia at Cincinnati up next. AJ Brown's just ridiculous. He's played three games this season. In those games, target shares of 35.7, 34.4, and 37.5%. 56% of the team's air yards during those weeks, averaging 110 air yards per game and 6.2 air yards per out run. Elite alpha type usage from AJ Brown. And yeah, now he gets a great matchup again against the Bengals. I mean, Cam Taylor-Britt not getting it done lately. According to our wide receiver cornerback matchup chart at ftnfantasy.com, Taylor-Britt allowing 1.51 yards per route covered, which is 11th worst among qualified corners. 15.1 air yards per target is the 6th most among corners. And he's allowing 1.9 fantasy points per target, which is one of the worst marks in the NFL. Also, you have the fact that the Bengals have been struggling to defend slants. AJ Brown, a lot of his routes are those quick slants and the vertical routes. So just another smash spot for AJ Brown. Especially, I mean, last week, I think Jalen Hurts attempted 14 passes. So the Bengals should be able to push them a lot more in this game. And AJ Brown could get back to like 10 to 12 targets in a great spot. The offense, though, is running through Barkley and AJ Brown. Like the three games that AJ Brown's played this season, AJ Brown and Barkley have combined for nearly 47% of the Eagles' overall touches. And that's not even including, or that is including, I should say, the carries that we've seen from Jalen Hurts. So if you take that away, it's even higher. Barkley's obviously been amazing, must-start player, averaging 20.7 touches per game. Bengals, not a good run defense, we know that. So you're starting him, obviously. You're starting Jalen Hurts. Bengals allowing a league-high 37.7 rushing yards per game to opposing quarterbacks. And Jalen Hurts, despite the addition of Barkley, still averaging 8.1 design rush attempts per game this season. The frustrating thing about last week was DeVonta Smith. I have a team where I got, it was start three flexes and two wide receivers. So my running backs are really good in that league. So I only started two receivers. It was DeVonta Smith and Tank Dell. I have injuries. They combined for one catch for minus 2 yards. It's going to happen when the Eagles only throw 14 passes and AJ Brown's dominating like he is. They weren't pushed to score at all because the Giants offense couldn't do anything without Andrew Thomas. Better days obviously had from DeVonta Smith. He's still getting that really awesome slot usage in the games with AJ Brown. He's like 70%+ of the time in the slot in the games that AJ Brown's played. It's getting him better matchups, more layup targets, more yak opportunities. So I'm still treating DeVonta Smith as a low-end wide receiver too with obvious upside, especially if Eagles get pushed to throw 30-plus times. And like, I wrote about it last week. His splits without Dallas Goedert are still really, really, really good. Going into last week, it was like 9 targets and 18 fantasy points per game. We'll see if Goddard's back this week. But I wouldn't be too discouraged about this game from DeVonta Smith in a game where Jalen Hurts only threw 14 passes. For the Bengals, you're starting Joe Burrow, who really for the most part has played the quarterback position as well as, I mean, there's maybe been, what, 3 quarterbacks that have played better than Joe Burrow this year? And the Bengals starting to pick things up. They're 3-4. I actually think they win this game. Eagles defense playing better as of late, but still a defense we can attack. Chase, starting him, obviously, is amazing. And T. Higgins, shout out T. Higgins, man. Made his debut back in week 3. Since then, he's 7th in the NFL in targets, 7th in receptions, 8th in touchdowns, 9th in fantasy points per snap among wide receivers, and he has more targets. I think he has like 7 or 6 more targets than Ja'Marr Chase. So he's been fantastic. Love him. And Chase Brown continues to take over this backfield. You look at his percentage of the team's rush attempts by week, 18.7%, 18%, 35%, 45.3%, 52%, 62.5%, and then 71% last week. So Zach Moss is still playing on those third downs and third and longs and 2-minute drills. But Chase Brown's really starting to get everything else. He's way more explosive. I think he leads the NFL in, second in the NFL, actually, in explosive rush rate at 18.2%. And we know with the Bengals offense and their scheme, a lot of it's out of shotgun. 56% of his runs coming from the shotgun this season. Eagles allowing the fifth highest explosive rush rate at 16.4% and the sixth most yards per carry at 5.4 off shotgun runs this season. So I'm definitely interested in going back to Chase Brown, who had, what, like 17 touches last game. Yeah, trending up for him once again. Jets at Patriots up next. Breece Hall's usage since the changes for the Jets coaching staff has been elite. Todd Downing comes in the past 2 weeks, and during that span, Breece Hall, 84.5% of the snaps, 41 of the 48 running back touches, that's 85.5% for the Jets. Like, there was a stretch where it looked like Braylon Allen could maybe be like a desperation flex play getting like 7 to 10 touches. Now he is just nothing more than insurance to Breece Hall. Breece Hall is getting elite usage, and now he has the Patriots, who are really struggling against running backs lately. Look at the last 3 weeks, the Patriots allowing the second most yards after contact per attempt at 2.9, the eighth highest explosive rush rate at 14.8%, and 5 rushing touchdowns. Saw Tank Bigsby last week, 26 for 118 and 2. He was the RB8. Joe Mixon, 13 for 102 and 1, 2 for 30 and 1. He was the RB2. In that same game, Damian Pierce had like a 60-yard touchdown. Jalen Wright had 13 for 86 against them. Jordan Mason, 24 for 123 and a touchdown. He was the RB5. So, like, yeah, Breece Hall was great last week in the passing game. He's been great in fantasy the past 2 weeks. I expect that to continue this week. Of course, Davante Adams made his Jets debut last week. It's kind of interesting, the usage. Adams played in the slot 52.5% of the time. Wilson was just under 49%, which was a little bit lower than his season average, but both saw 9 targets. I think they're both going to be ranked as like mid-range wide receiver twos as we continue on this season. It was encouraging. I think it was a little, at least more encouraging for Wilson that it wasn't just like 12 targets for Adams and like 5 or 6 for Wilson. So, you know, if it's a 1A, 1B situation, that's fine for Wilson. And last time he played the Patriots, he was shadowed by Christian Gonzalez, who followed him in the slot in that game too. That's probably not going to happen in this game. And wide receiver 2 is averaging 63.3 yards per game against the Patriots, fourth most in the NFL. So if you now view Garrett Wilson as the number 2 wide receiver for the Jets, that's good for him in this spot. Also, obviously, he didn't play with Adams for most of the season, but he has a 29.2% target share against single high defenses. It's one of the 5 highest rates in football this season. Patriots, 11th in dropbacks and single high on defense this year. Speaking of the Patriots, Drake May is playing pretty well right now. He's, you know, a mid-range quarterback 2 here. Ramondre Stevenson didn't do much over in London, but he's back. He's, you know, Jets run defense is bad. We saw what the Steelers did against them. That's the weakness of this defense. So I think Stevenson's low-end RB2, decent flex play. And Hunter Henry, I mean, he's been great with Drake May. The overall passing offense has looked a lot more smooth. 9 targets last week. I think he flirted with that mark back in week 6 as well. So, yeah, Hunter Henry, low-end tight end 1 for the time being. A lot of tight ends have been getting bumps lately, right? Like, Andrews looks to be back. Henry's looked good. Kate Otten, we'll talk about, gets a bump with the injuries to the Bucks. A lot of tight ends, David Njoku. So a lot of tight ends getting bumps lately, but Hunter Henry is definitely one of them for sure. All right, we'll do one more game before taking a break. It's Green Bay. It's Jacksonville. Jordan Love, just scoring a lot of fantasy points. He'll turn the ball over a little bit too, but third in fantasy points per game among quarterbacks at 22.2. He's averaging nearly 4 end zone passes per game as well. Multiple touchdowns in every game this season. And now he's facing a Jacksonville team that allows the most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks. So, yeah, they've allowed multiple touchdown passes in 5 straight games. They play a ton of cover 1 and a ton of man coverage. Jordan Love, 5th in the NFL with a 6.8% passing touchdown rate against cover 1. So, yeah, you're starting Jordan Love. You're starting Josh Jacobs, who caught a receiving touchdown for the first time in his career last week. Great matchup. You know, Packers obviously implied to score a lot of points here. Let's talk about the wide receivers, though, because Jaden Reed's obviously the wide receiver you rank the highest each week. He's got the most upside. He's been amazing. You look at his metrics this season, second among wide receivers in both fantasy points per target and fantasy points per out run, but he's outside the top 35 wide receivers in both targets and target share. So there will be some games like last week where if he doesn't have those explosive plays off the jet sweeps or the long touchdowns or, you know, whatever, he can disappoint because Dontayvion Wicks, who was originally listed as week to week, doesn't miss any time. And Christian Watson, who's maybe going to miss multiple weeks, misses one game and he's back. And Romeo Doubs is back and been playing really well. Tucker Kraft's there. So, like, all of these green, like, you're starting Jaden Reed. He's a must-start player, especially against Jacksonville. But just know that these games can happen. And that's why it's tough to really, you know, I think if I was ranking the Green Bay wide receivers, it would be Reed, Doubs, probably Wicks, and then Watson. But if you told me that Christian Watson scored the most fantasy points among Green Bay wide receivers this week, I wouldn't be shocked. If you told me it was Doubs, wouldn't be shocked. Told me it was Wicks, wouldn't be shocked. And obviously the same goes for Jaden Reed. The matchup's just so good. Looking at some of those cover one metrics, it's actually Dontayvion Wicks who leads the team in targets against cover one this season. And he and Tucker Kraft both tied for the team lead with two touchdowns. Kraft's obviously a great play here too. Tight ends have killed Jacksonville this season. Especially lately though. I mean, Hunter Henry, 8 for 92. Cole Kmet, 5 for 70 and 2 touchdowns. Mo Alie-Cox, 2 for 37 and a touchdown. You just want pieces of this Green Bay offense. And we lost a lot of receivers lately, right? We already had Collins on IR. Both Tampa Bay wide receivers are hurt. Zay Flowers is banged up. Brandon Ayuk just tore his ACL. So, yeah, like, I'm in a league where I'm probably starting Christian Watson as a flex play this week. Could do a lot worse. And there's obviously so much upside. Because feels like each week or any week Jordan Love can throw 4 touchdown passes, but especially this week. So you definitely want pieces of the Green Bay passing attack for sure. For Jacksonville, with Travis Etienne out last week, we saw Tank Bigsby in a better game script than it was against the Bears. 65.5% of the snaps, 26 of the 38 running back touches. He goes for 118 yards and 2 touchdowns. He had 9 carries inside the 10-yard line. Like in that second half, it was just all Tank Bigsby because the Patriots just didn't even pose a threat to Jacksonville. Bigsby still 6th in the NFL with a 31.3% avoided tackle rate, 1st in yards after contact per attempt at 4.4, and 2nd among all running backs in EPA per attempt. Good matchup you can definitely run on the Packers, but the problem is, of course, they could be trailing in this game, in which case we see D'Ernest Johnson, or the other obvious factor here is what if Travis Etienne's back. Then it becomes a split between Etienne and Bigsby, and then on third downs, it's probably D'Ernest Johnson. So, to wait and see, Bigsby's a flex if Etienne's out, but way more risky because of the game script that we could see in this contest. And then Evan Engram, you know, took a step back last week, but since he's been back, 25 and 28.5% target shares for him. Packers allow the 7th most targets, 8th most yards per game to tight ends. And then Brian Thomas Jr., obviously, it doesn't matter about the matchup, must-start player. He's been amazing, and took a look at the Pro Football Reference. Brian Thomas Jr., among rookie wide receivers in their first 7 games since 1990, 13th most fantasy points among wide receivers in that criteria. So he's been otherworldly. I think we've obviously gotten to the point where he's probably the number 2 rookie wide receiver. Like in Dynasty too, I mean. Like he's probably ahead of Marvin. He's definitely ahead of Rome. So if you got him, wherever you got him in your rookie draft, probably feeling great about that. All right, we will take a break, but so much more to get into. Again, we have so many games. Nobody's on bye. Up next, we go to the AFC South with the Colts and Jaguars, or actually Colts and Texans. Just talk about the Jaguars. So many games. My mind's going crazy. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Colts at Texans. Maybe we get Jonathan Taylor back. This Colts offense needs it because Trey Sermon's done nothing. Tyler Goodson's not a full-time player. And this team needs Jonathan Taylor. We will see. He practiced on Wednesday, so that's a good start. The Colts are pretty easy. Like, if Taylor's back, you start him. And is that it? Like, Richardson's... all of a sudden, he's a really boom-bust quarterback right now because he's struggling. Looking at some of the data for the Advanced Stats Hub at FTN, Anthony Richardson, among qualified quarterbacks, last in accuracy percentage at 57%, second worst success rate at 33.7%, fourth lowest catchable air yard rate at 22.6%. He's really struggling right now. And he's not giving us those huge rushing games for the floor or the ceiling. He's got a Houston pass rush that can really get after it. He did have that awesome game with those highlight throws back in week one against his team. It is tough to bench that upside, but like, especially given the matchups they have, like you're starting Sam Darnold over him, who I didn't even mention, by the way, in that game. Sam Darnold's a top eight quarterback for me against the Rams. So like Sam Darnold just start over him. You've probably been starting Baker over him, but that's obviously a little bit different now with the receivers they've lost. Would you start Kirk Cousins over him against Tampa? Probably. Caleb, yes. So, has been great. And obviously, like, the pass catchers haven't really done well either. You look at Josh Downs. Since the start of last season, in games where Anthony Richardson's played at least 20 snaps, Downs is averaging 6.7 PPR points per game. That was over 11 points per game without Richardson. He had less than a fantasy point last week, right? Like, or right at one fantasy point. Like, he did nothing. So, right now, I'm just kind of waiting to see if Taylor plays, and that's where I'm stopping for now for the Colts. Joe Mixon, though, has been insane. Absolutely insane. He's played three full games without leaving early. In those games, he's averaging like 25 touches per game. He's played 66% of the snaps. He's averaging over 24 fantasy points per game. He's been the focal point. And now he gets the Colts. So obviously you're starting him. Stroud and the passing game were really disappointing last week. Stroud didn't even throw for like 90 yards. Tank Dell had a couple drops, including one in the end zone. He doesn't catch a pass in the game. Diggs does nothing. Better days obviously ahead, and they should be this week. Stroud, I mean, he's, I think, 19th among quarterbacks in fantasy points per dropback right now. He was 9th last season. But the Colts allow the 9th highest passing touchdown rate at 4.6%. And they've been a bottom five defense really since the start of last season against post routes. And that's a huge staple of this offense, even without Nico Collins. Stroud leads the league with 16 passes off post routes this season. So that's good. Tank Dell, second, despite missing time, second with 5 post targets this season. So I love the spot for him. Receivers have crushed the Colts. Yes, he didn't score any fantasy points last week, but he also has now seen target shares of 21 and 29% in the two games without Nico Collins. And then Stephon Diggs obviously is a must start. Almost a 27% target share against cover three this season, which the Colts have ran as much as anybody in football the past couple seasons. Baltimore at Cleveland. This game's very interesting. We got word that Jameis Winston's going to start at quarterback. And there's always talk about, like, especially from the fantasy community, like, we want Jameis to start a quarterback. Why? Why does everybody want Jameis to start a quarterback? He is so good for fantasy because, A, he's just better than Deshaun Watson would have been no matter what. B, he lets his receivers and tight ends, he gives them opportunities to make plays. And I guess C, He's YOLO, so even if he throws a pick, it's fine. All of a sudden, they're trailing, and then we get more passing attempts. But Jameis, 12 dropbacks in relief on Sunday, 11 pass attempts. 6 of those pass attempts, according to FTN Fantasy, were tight windows, tight coverage. Which is really not surprising, given Jameis's style of play. Back in 2021, which is the last time he's played like meaningful snaps in a season, over 32% of his passes were in tight windows. So he's going to let Cedric Tillman and David Njoku and these guys make plays. You saw that in the drive he came in. He threw back-to-back contested passes in the end zone to Njoku. He caught the second one and scored. on those 11 pass attempts, 4 targets to Judy, 3 for Njoku. I think it was 2 for Tillman, but 1 technically a third that I don't think counts as a target was on a 2-point conversion attempt. He was throwing down the field. Speaking of Tillman in that first game without Amari Cooper last week, 12 targets, 127 air yards, 82% of the snaps, 82% of the routes. He's going to be a lot of that vertical, obviously not Mike Evans, but that type of role for Jameis. And he gets Baltimore this week, who already a vulnerable secondary, allowing the most 20-plus yard completions in the NFL with 16, and a ton of production off vertical routes. And they could be without Marlon Humphrey in this game. Jerry Jeudy, if you're in a deep league, if you're desperate as a flex, again, he was doing nothing the entire game. And then Jameis comes in, he gets like 4 targets immediately. He had 4 targets on 11 pass attempts from Jameis. And the Ravens, they allow 9.5 yards per target to the slot, second most in the NFL. So, and Njoku is a must-start player. Obviously, he had insane volume. He's going to be a top 6 tight end going forward, probably. But, and I'm not saying Tillman and Jeudy are must-start players, but especially Tillman. I loved Cedric Tillman in college. He was one of my favorite receivers the entire draft class. And then, you know, he's in a tough situation. He's really buried in the depth chart. But now is his time. And he has upside with Jameis, especially in this matchup. So keep an eye on Jeudy, keep an eye on Tillman, start Njoku. And then Nick Chubb, I think he saw 13 opportunities his first game of the season, 35% of snaps, 4 of the 5 snaps at the goal line. He scored a touchdown. Not the best matchup here, but I think you can probably slide Chubb into a flex spot this week if you've been obviously holding him. For the Ravens, Lamar Jackson playing at not just a, you know, high-end MVP level, but the MVP level. He's the MVP of the league, 5 touchdowns last week. He's the best quarterback in fantasy. He's been amazing. Derrick Henry, pretty much everything I said about Lamar Jackson applies to Derrick Henry. He's been amazing. He's been the best at his position. Mark Andrews. I feel like he's still going to have some really bad games because even though he's been productive the last 2 weeks, the route participation is still not great. But 2 touchdowns last week, scored the week before as well, 7 red zone targets the past 3 weeks. It feels like Mark Andrews again. We have to keep an eye on Zay Flowers too, dealing with this ankle injury. Came back in on Monday night, but wasn't really used a lot. Now the adrenaline's worn off and he didn't practice on Wednesday. Hopefully he can get back in there. He has a 28.8% target share against single high this year. Browns play more single high than anybody. If he can't play, Rashad Bateman becomes probably a strong wide receiver 3. He's been really good this season. He's been productive in games with Zay Flowers. Hasn't mattered. So we'll keep an eye on that going forward. Cardinals and Dolphins up next. This game's pretty easy. Tua looks like he's going to be back, which means enjoy starting Tyreek Hill. Probably going to post top 10 fantasy production once again, which is great. Start Devon Achane, whose usage in the passing game was awesome with Tua, but overall his usage in terms of touches, goal line opportunities has been great this season. His upside is enhanced. And then Jalen Waddle, I'm still not going as far as say like back to being a must-start player, but you just obviously feel so much better about this entire offense. As long as Tua is back under center, the timing routes, the overall rhythm, everything's just going to be so much better for the Dolphins. And for the Cardinals, Trey McBride must start, James Conner must start, Kyler a top 12 quarterback. What are we doing with Marvin Harrison? I've talked about my concerns with Marvin Harrison for weeks now. He is being used as a Gabe Davis clear out wide receiver. He's running these deep vertical routes down the sideline, and it's just not working. There's nothing schemed for him. I think he has 1 or 2 targets all year off pre-snap motion. He's running go routes. It's bad. Jalen Ramsey's done a good job this season. Miami's been good against wide receivers this season. I'm not saying you have to bench Marvin Harrison Jr., especially if you don't have better options, and it's probably difficult to do that with all the receiver injuries we've had, but, like, I'm not saying, even though you draft him in the second round, that you have to start him. Like, let me ask you this. With the stuff going on in San Francisco right now, if Juwan Jennings can practice and play this week, would you start Juwan Jennings or Marvin Harrison Jr. this week? Like, go Juwan Jennings. It's just so weird, too, because Marvin Harrison Jr., like, he's not obviously like this 4-3 speed demon, but, like, he wins. He can win in any way. Like, he was this elite prospect, and Kyler's not playing well. The connection on these, like, back shoulder fades, which is pretty much all they're throwing to him, are these, like, vertical routes and back shoulder fades where the timing's been off, and you have to have kind of, like, everything go right. And it's just, like, there's not a lot of easy button stuff for Marvin Harrison Jr. So his floor is like shockingly low for somebody we thought would be like minimum 8 targets per game. It's brutal. And it's been frustrating because it's not like he was like, we remember like Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson as like obviously two of the best receivers in the league. They were amazing rookie seasons, but like they weren't drafted in like the first 4 or 5 rounds of fantasy drafts. Like Marvin Harrison Jr. went second round. So it just makes it even more difficult. All right, let's keep moving on. So many games still left to break down. Titans and Lions. Lions gonna be without Jameson Williams here. Dave Montgomery, I think he's okay. Like he came back in the game last week and had that fumble, but I'm still starting both Lions running backs, obviously. Jahmyr Gibbs was unbelievable last week. Jared Goff's playing insane football right now. Amon-Ra's great. Maybe this absence of Jameson Williams is a bump to Sam Laporta, who's been terrible. Or maybe it's just more Tim Patrick and Allen Robinson. Titans defense is good, but like the Bills second half, they found things out and started to have their way. Titans were without L'Jarius Sneed, who didn't practice all last week. So if he's out, it definitely continues to hurt the secondary. I just like you're starting all the Lions still. I guess not all of them. Like Tim Patrick, I don't think you're going there. But like Amon-Ra, both running backs, Laporta, and then Goff. How do you get away from Jared Goff right now? Just playing so well. They have everything answered. For the Titans, they are now without DeAndre Hopkins, who was traded to Kansas City. Calvin Ridley had 9 targets last week. He kind of got rolled up on against the Bills, left the game for a couple plays, then came back in. Didn't practice Wednesday, so we'll keep an eye on that. I don't know. I just don't feel good about this passing attack right now. Will Levis doesn't offer much if he plays, and Mason Rudolph doesn't lose them games, but doesn't win them games by any means either. Tony Pollard is a brutal matchup against arguably these are two of the best run defenses in football. So Pollard, I mean, Spears might be back, but I don't really, especially this week, I really don't want to start anybody in the Titans outside if I have to, Tony Pollard. Tampa Bay and Atlanta. Man, what are we doing with Tampa Bay? The Chris Godwin injury just ruined my Monday. And I'm not going to get into should he have been in the game, should he have not been in the game. It just sucks. Like, Chris Godwin, first of all, like, he was the season he was having was unbelievable. And for it to happen, not only after losing Mike Evans, but to happen with less than a minute left, and now all of a sudden, for the foreseeable future, this passing attack is going to go through a rookie in Jalen McMillan, Sterling Shepard, who, by the way, also has had trouble staying healthy, Trey Palmer, Kate Otten, and the running backs. They might just try to establish it. The problem with that is they're using 3 running backs, so it's not great for fantasy. Bucky Irving didn't practice Wednesday. Rashad White got back on track last week in his return. it's just, there was the report that they would use all three running backs for the first three drives and kind of go with the hot hand. It ended up, I guess, being Rashad White. Baker goes from, I mean, Baker was a top five fantasy quarterback. He was top five in fantasy points per dropback, touchdowns, all that stuff. I don't see how you can have any confidence starting him. Like, it'd be one thing if it was just missing Evans for the next couple weeks, but, like, Evans and Godwin? Yeah, I mean, you're not starting Baker. Just can't do it. Kate Otten, obviously, sees a massive bump. He's going to be a borderline top 12 tight end going forward. Had a ton of targets and receptions and yards last week. And this is somebody that's always, and especially last year, runs like 90%+ of the routes and does a lot of wind sprints. And now he's going to be actually drawing targets on routes for the first time consistently in his career. So I think you can pick up if you, well, obviously waivers already ran, but like if you picked up any of those Tampa Bay wide receivers, Shepard, Palmer, McMillan, I want to wait and see unless I'm desperate or really hurting to start those guys, but obviously they should be added. I would put my money on McMillan. They were really high on him and throughout training camp. It's interesting though, because he was at his best at Washington out of the slot, but the problem is you have to play Sterling Shepard there. So McMillan's got to win on the outside a little bit more, which I think he can do, but he's still a rookie, doesn't have a ton of reps and targets under his belt. For the Falcons, this is a smash spot. We saw Cousins go for over 500 yards against Tampa Bay's defense. This defense is just not good. They blitz and play this soft zone coverage, and it's really not been... Like, Minnesota's blitzing heavy scheme has been different. It's been a lot more versatile and tough to pinpoint. Hasn't been the same for Tampa Bay. They are getting a little bit healthier on defense, but Cousins is a good start. Drake London's been amazing. He's top five in the NFL in first read target share. He's been amazing. Bijan actually had a 20+ carry game last week. He's trending upward. Kyle Pitts has been more consistent lately. I'm starting all those guys. And Darnell Mooney's a really solid high-end wide receiver three. Should be a game where the Falcons can put up, you know, 27, 30 points again. All right. I believe we are on to the 4 o'clock games, and we are. Saints-Chargers. This game's very easy. Rashid Shaheed, done for the year. Chris Olave should be back. And I think it'll be one more week before Derek Carr is back. For the Saints, like, it's obviously you're starting Kamara. You don't feel as good about it with the way this offense is completely shifted. Remember back first couple weeks, this offense was like the best in the league. But the volume's there. Spencer Rattler leads the NFL with an 18.5% checkdown rate. And then Chris Olave, like, without Rashid Shaheed there, I don't see how he sees less than, like, a 27% target share going forward. So I'm probably putting him back in my lineup as a low-end wide receiver, too. And that's it for the Saints. If you want to take a chance on Taysom Hill, if you need help at tight end, if he's back, be my guest. And then for the Chargers, J.K. Dobbins must start. The Saints' run defense has been absolutely brutal. Since week 3, Saints allowing 6 yards per carry, 2.7 yards after contact per attempt, 3.4 yards before contact per attempt, 54.4% rushing success rate, 17.4% explosive rush rate. The Chargers want to run the football. The Saints can't tackle right now. Dobbins could be in for one of those like week 1 or week 2 games that we saw. Can we trust a pass catcher though for the Chargers? Quentin Johnson was out last week. So was Hayden Hurst. Will Disley was the guy in the offense. I don't know if I buy it. Ladd McConkey did nothing. Josh Palmer made a couple plays. Simi Fehoko is getting these like one or two deep targets a game that somehow work. I don't know. I would much rather not start a Chargers pass catcher if I can help it. But if those guys are out again, then we might have some potential value on our hands. That's it from this game, though. There's not much to like. Buffalo at Seattle. Do you guys know Amari Cooper is a Buffalo Bill? it was really cool to see him score. As a Bills fan, it was dope. Only ran 12 routes, played 34.5% of the snaps, but 5 targets. He scored the touchdown. He's probably going to be close to full go this week, so I'm starting him as a mid-range wide receiver too. James Cook returned last week. He played about 53% of snaps, handled 12 of the 19 running back touches. I do think Ray Davis is going to eat into his workload a little bit. Like, it's not going to be the same exact workload as it was the first, you know, 4 weeks of the season, first 5 weeks of the season. But make no mistake, this is still James Cook as the starter, probably getting 15, 18 touches per game. And he's also going to catch passes. He didn't catch a pass last week. That's an outlier, in my opinion. Seattle, they can be had on the ground, too. Since week 4, 2.6 yards before contact per attempt, 49.6% success rate, 3.8 adjusted line yards per attempt, and overall on the season, the 10th most fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. This is also a pretty good pace-up spot for the Bills. Seattle is top 5 in both average seconds per snap and no huddle rate this season. So, starting James Cook still, obviously. Josh Allen, obviously starting him. And I think we're going to get one of those like 50, 60 rushing yard games from Josh Allen soon, because I do think the more Amari Cooper plays, the less of this like heavy man coverage, bring the safety or the linebacker down to spy Josh Allen and blitz. It's been limiting his rushing a little bit, but Amari Cooper changes that. And I think we'll start to see some more of these like 40 to 50 rushing yard games from Josh Allen. First, Dalton Kincaid's still like a top 12 tight end. He made a couple really nice plays deep down the field last game. And then Khalil Shakir, still getting close to 100% with the ankle. He is a wide receiver 3. He's just been so good. I'm still not comfortable starting Keon Coleman, but if he's been dropped, you can pick him up. He looked good. Didn't even play, really, a ton with Amari Cooper, but when those guys are on the field together, like their 3 wide sets are obviously going forward. I guess not exclusively. They want to get Matt Collins in the field. So Matt Collins will probably take Keon off the field for some of those plays, especially when they're running the football. But Cooper's going to help him a lot. For Seattle, they could be without DK Metcalf for this game. MCL sprain, they're saying he's week to week. I saw a report that he's not practicing Wednesday or Thursday, and they'll reassess on Friday. Sounds like he's very questionable to play in this game. I mean, JSN already leads the team with a 23.3% target share against cover 2, which makes sense. He's been the short intermediate target, and cover 2 limits the deep passes, so that makes a lot of sense. The Bills are a team that have been so good against perimeter wide receivers. This year, they're allowing the second fewest yards per target at 5.7 to the perimeter or out wide. I don't think Metcalf plays, but he says he's going to try to. If he plays, you kind of lower expectations than normal between the health and the matchup, but you still start him. JSN's been doing a very little with a lot of targets, but I mean, if this passing game is just going through Lockett and JSN, they're probably both close to must-start players, despite the tough matchup. I know Christian Benford's been, in my opinion, he's the most underrated defensive back in football. Russell Douglas has been great. Taron Johnson's back in the slot. So, not the greatest matchup, but we'll keep an eye on Metcalf's status. And then Ken Walker, obviously must-start. Bills, second most yards before contact per attempt allowed in the NFL at 2.9. They also allow a league-high 8.1 targets per game to opposing running backs. Bears at Commanders up next. Got to keep an eye on Jaden Daniels. Dealing with a rib issue, he could miss this game. Obviously, if he plays, must-start player. If he sits, yeah, I know Mariota came in and played well against Carolina, but that was Carolina. This Bears pass defense has been elite. They've been a massive run funnel. So I don't know if we have the luxury to full on just like bench Terry McLaurin if Jaden Daniels is out, but I'm definitely lowering my expectations. We'll keep an eye on Jaden Daniels' status as the week goes on. Brian Robinson returned from a 1-game absence last week. He played about 48% of snaps before the fourth quarter, because in the fourth quarter, it was mostly Jeremy McNichols. Game was really just a blowout. He handled 12 to 23 running back carries, but again, that is accounting for a lot of those fourth quarter carries from Jeremy McNichols. He had all of the goal line work, And like I mentioned, the Bears are a run funnel. 60% of the touchdowns against Chicago this year have come on the ground. Second highest rate in football. So we could see a lot of the running backs here if Jayden Daniels is out. Eckler scored double-digit fantasy points in all but one of his games this year. He's like always going to be like not the worst flex play, especially in PPR leagues. For the Bears coming off the bye week, DeAndre Swift, weeks 3 through 6 has been insane. During that span, weeks 4 through 6. So 4, 5, and 6. 65% of the snaps, 22.3 touches per game, 23.8 fantasy points per game, and 6 goal line carries. He's been awesome. Washington allows 10 plus yards on 16% of their carries. That's the second highest rate in the NFL. He's a must-start player. Caleb Williams is a great play. He's been so much better lately. The deep ball has been a little bit better. But this is definitely a matchup where the deep ball can be good. We know Washington struggled in that department for over a year now. DJ Moore, going right back to him as a mid-range wide receiver too. And then Keenan Allen before the bye in London. Finally got involved. 2 touchdowns. He's a solid wide receiver 3/flex. And then Rome's a wide receiver 4 with a frighteningly low floor. But in this matchup, there is obviously some upside. And then Cole Kmet's usage. Jared Everett's a thing of the past. Kmet's running a ton of the routes. So like him quite a bit too. We continue to move on. Chiefs and Raiders. Chiefs now have DeAndre Hopkins. Who knows what his involvement will look like? Kind of similar situation to Amari Cooper, right? Got traded on a Tuesday to a new team. Or on a Wednesday, actually, for this. So I would anticipate limited snaps if he plays, which makes him risky. Matchup against the Raiders is obviously good. Xavier Worthy was a little bit more involved in his first game coming out of the bye, but that was also in a game where they like had 4 active wide receivers because they had 5, and then Juju left early. So it was, Hardman, Worthy, Watson, and blanking on the 4th receiver. But I think that was part of it. His routes were different. He did miss a deep ball that Mahomes should have hit him on for a long touchdown, but there's a lot more of a lot more variety with the routes. They still are working on how to get him the ball consistently, but until we see any changes, he's going to be a real boom-bust play each week, especially with this passing offense just not doing much. I mean, Patrick Mahomes still hasn't scored 20 fantasy points in a game, has more interceptions and touchdowns. Just not the same offense. Kareem Hunt, though, must-start player. Last 2 weeks, he's averaging well over 20 touches per game, 3 rushing touchdowns. He doesn't look like as good as Isaiah Pacheco's look, but he's just getting like 4-5 yards every time he touches the ball, essentially, getting all of the goal line work, and the Raiders are terrible. So Kareem Hunt, must-start player. Obviously, Kelce, you're starting him. And then Mahomes, it's so tough because, you can't start him right now. Right? There's so many quarterbacks that you could have picked up and have been starting over him. Caleb Williams, Sam Darnold. Drake May. I don't know about against the Jets, but just overall. Right. So I don't see how you start him right now, but I also struggle to drop him because if I'm out there and I need a quarterback and I see Patrick Mahomes on waivers, I'm picking him up, but maybe you shouldn't. I don't know. It's dating back to last year too, where there's this huge stretch of him hardly reaching 20 fantasy points in a game. And they're running the ball inside the 5-yard line more than they really ever have with Mahomes. And they're converting. So for the Raiders, Brock Bowers, I think I saw a stat that he's on pace to break Puka's reception record. He is the focal point of this offense right now. He's been amazing. Chiefs have been terrible against tight ends. So he's probably the tight end 2 in fantasy going forward outside of George Kittle. You can make the case for tight end 1. You really can. Alexander Mattison. It's a brutal, brutal matchup. But he had 26 touches last week. Was Zamir White active? I mean, the ceiling's low, but he can get you like 10 to 12 points just based off volume. And then Jakobi Meyers, I think he'll be back. He would be a wide receiver 3 if he does return, but we'll wait and see on that. Panthers, Broncos, this game very easy, and honestly got even easier. Andy Dalton, not going to play this week, had the car accident. I think he has a sprained, I think they said thumb. So Bryce Young will start, which means you bench all the Panthers. Especially against a Denver team that's been elite on defense. They blitz at one of the highest rates. They play man coverage. Pat Surtain, probably back from the concussion. I don't know if you could have asked for a worse matchup for Bryce Young to get back in the lineup. I don't think it's an overreaction to say you just bench Deontay Johnson and Chuba Hubbard. Sorry. For the Broncos, Javonte Williams, borderline must-start player based off the usage we saw back in Week 7. Panthers are allowing multiple touchdowns and multiple rushing touchdowns in pretty much every game this season. Broncos, it's going to be a similar game as last week where the Broncos are going to have the ball a ton. Javonte should get 18 to 20 touches and probably has, 100 total yards and a touchdown. Bo Nix, giving you some rushing each week, but not enough to really start outside of two quarterback leagues. Troy Franklin's starting to come along a little bit, but I don't want to start really any pass catchers in this team. Sutton's fine, I guess. Maybe they get him more involved after the goose egg last week, but it's mostly just Javonte Williams for me in this game. And that takes us to the final two games of the slate. Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. We will break those final two games down when we come back. San Francisco trying to just battle through it right now. They're 3-4. Christian McCaffrey's not back yet. Brandon Ayuk just tore his ACL. Deebo Samuel's got pneumonia. Kittle's banged up. Jordan Mason's still limited with the shoulder. It has been absolutely brutal. They're at home. They got Dallas on Sunday Night Football. There's a lot of moving parts in this game right now. Juwan Jennings, dealing with a hip, didn't practice Wednesday. If he is cleared and can play, he's a great play with Brandon Ayuk out and maybe Deebo out as well. We saw the upside he had the one game without Deebo this year. That was the Rams game where he scored over 40 fantasy points. No, he's not doing that again, but he's probably going to be at least a top 30 receiver in the rankings if he's good to go. If he's not, Ricky Pearsall becomes interesting. His first game back, he was out there a ton. Ran a route on 70 to 80% of dropbacks. Didn't do much. But, it's going to be him and Kittle. They don't throw to the running backs like they do with McCaffrey. So, if Debo's back, you play him. It was just an unfortunate situation where nobody knew he was sick until right when the game kicked off, and was obviously worse than just him being sick. The guy had pneumonia. He was having trouble, breathing on the field, but nobody knew. Hopefully he can get okay and be good to go, but we just don't know yet. Kittle's obviously a must start. I assume he'll be out there. And then what do you do with Brock Purdy now? Dallas's defense is not good. Their pass rush is still going to be pretty weak if Mike is not back. But man, and give Brock credit. He didn't play good against the Chiefs, but for the most part this season, he's played good despite having games without Ayuk and games without Deebo and games without all the games without McCaffrey. But man, it'll be tough to feel great about him if he's without Jennings, Deebo, and Ayuk. That's your top three receivers. So it's a little bit wait and see. He'd be a high-end quarterback too if Deebo plays. Probably a high-end quarterback too, regardless of if Deebo and or Juwan Jennings play. Jordan Mason, starting him. Great matchup against Dallas. We know you can run on them. But look at some of these rates. So according to FTN data and Scott Spratt, who's amazing, he ran these numbers for me. Since the start of 2023, these are with both Ayuk and McCaffrey on the field and off the field. Since start 2023, George Kittle has a 22% target per out run rate with Ayuk and McCaffrey on the field. With Ayuk not on the field, it goes up to 32% target per out run rate. And just 29 routes, but with both Ayuk and McCaffrey not on the field, it goes up to 52%. And then Debo, 22% target per out run rate with both Ayuk and McCaffrey on the field, 49% with Ayuk not on the field. So it's just, it's going to be insane usage for Kittle no matter what, but probably Debo and Kittle if Debo plays. For Dallas, CeeDee Lamb must start, Ferguson must start. I kind of like Tolbert here. San Fran's been bottom five or top five, however you want to phrase it, and receiving yards allowed per game to wide receiver twos. I think he's looked pretty good, and Dallas probably have to throw in this game. Dowdle's a desperation flex play. He's still losing third down snaps to fullback Hunter Lipke. Probably gets like 13 to 16 touches in this game. And Dak, I don't feel great about either. Like, he's not playing well. He's throwing picks in the red zone. They don't have a lot of explosion. He's forcing a lot of passes to CeeDee Lamb. So I think Dak and Purdy, both more towards quarterback two range and quarterback one range right now in fantasy. I think better days ahead for Dak for sure, but I don't know if they come in this game. Finally, Giants and Steelers. Russell Wilson started, and he was right away throwing those vertical sideline rainbow balls to George Pickens, who that's how he wants to win. So Pickens looked good. He's a must-start receiver. Deontay Banks has shadowed quite a bit this season. He's a good player, but he can be beat. He's not perfect by any means. Najee Harris getting a ton of work. Still pretty easily out-touched Jalen Warren last week. Giants run defense, not good. They allow the highest rate of explosive runs in the NFL. Freiermuth, probably a high-end tight end two. And then for the Giants, you're starting Malik. It's probably it. Like, I don't know. Tracy dominated the snaps last week with Singletary back, but you have to think Singletary with the groin was at least somewhat limited in terms of his ability, his playing time. Wandale is an okay PPR play, but like without Andrew Thomas, I just like it cannot be overstated how impactful his absence is. And we saw that, like the Eagles, whose pass rush has really fallen off a cliff over the past year, they did whatever they wanted to against the Giants last week. And now you got to go against TJ Watt and company in Pittsburgh without Andrew Thomas. I'm good on that, man. I'm good on that. You start Malik and we'll see what happens to the rest. They can't do anything without Andrew Thomas. And that'll do it. Week 8 in the books. We actually got that just at an hour, too. So, well done. Well done. I'm pretty proud of myself there. But, check out the content at ftnfantasy.com. Rankings updated every day from myself, Jeff Ratcliffe, Jeremy Popolars, Chris Meany, Scott Spratt, and Mike Randall. All the podcasts, part of the FTN Media Podcast Network. And basketball, man, I'm excited. Basketball. My Cavs dominated on Tuesday, or Wednesday, I should say. I'm a huge basketball fan, and I love the content and the tools and all the information we're going to have at FTN Fantasy, so make sure you check that out if you love basketball as well. It's a great time, like I said, to be a sports fan, and a better time to sign up at FTNFantasy.com. That will do it for me. Best of luck on Thursday night. Hopefully Week 8 gets off to a good start for you. We'll see how it goes. Talk to you next time. Thanks for listening, as always. Peace out.